So almost 100 years ago, there was this man named William Leslie. Right? And William Leslie arrived in the Democratic Republic of the Congo over in Africa. And here's the thing with this guy. He felt called by God to share Jesus. He felt called by God to speak words of life to the people that were there, to people that had never heard the name of Jesus. He was willing to go where few people had ever gone before. And he was willing to do what God had called him, and honestly, what God had called every single one of us to do as well. And his time there in the Congo, over in Africa, it was rough, okay? In his own words, it was rough. He spent 17 years there ministering to people, speaking life in the name of Jesus. But after those 17 years, he came home. He came home discouraged. He came home frustrated. He came home with little to no fruit to show for his effort there, for that major investment of his life, right, of his time, of his money, of his effort. And 9 years after he got back here to this side of the world, 9 years later, he died, right, still frustrated, talking with friends and family about how he wished things had been different for him over in Africa. Right, and as we hear this story, like this particular guy's story, we might hear it, and it might be a little bit discouraging for us. Right, we might hear his story and wonder, why did it go that way? Right, why did things end for him the way that they did? Maybe we hear his story and it reminds us of our own lives, things that we wished had gone differently than they did, or maybe things that we wish right now are going differently than they are. We might agree with his assessment of himself. Right, we might look at him and say, yeah, I mean, he got it right. This guy was unsuccessful. And if that's the case, right, if we're thinking like that, let me encourage you to slow down a minute, because this morning, we're going to look in God's Word, and we're going to be reminded again that God's call on us is to speak life to other people. Right, that God's call on us, on our lives, is to speak life in the name of Jesus to the world around us, and then to let God worry about the results. Right, to let God worry about what happens once we're willing to speak it. This morning in Acts 5, if you've got a Bible, join me in Acts chapter 5. We're going to see that's the case. Right, God has called followers of Jesus to speak life into the world around us. And as we look through this today, we're going to see that we have so many opportunities, so many situations, so many circumstances to do just that. And so our encouragement this morning as we read God's Word together is let's not miss it, right? Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 17, God's word says this. But the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy, and they arrested the apostles, and they put them in the public prison, right? So here's what's happening here. We're sort of jumping in the middle of a story, in the middle of a scenario. The apostles were out doing good things, and people responded positively because they were doing good things. And so this council, like the Sadducees and the others, we've seen them cause trouble for Christians before in the book of Acts. They do it again, right? They're jealous of the favor. They're jealous of the success that the apostles are having, and so they put them in prison, right? It's this display, it's this public humiliation. Verse 18 says that it's a public prison. So from the Sadducees and these people, this is a power move, right? They think if we put them in prison, if we embarrass them, if we humiliate them, if we call them out, they'll keep quiet. And so that's what they did. They put them in prison. But we see, starting in verse 19, they didn't stay in jail long. Verse 19, it says, during the night, an angel of the Lord opened up the prison doors and brought them out. And he said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all of the words of life. Right, and when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Underline, if you write in your Bibles, the end of verse 20 right there. Speak to the people all of the words of life. We're going to zero in on that today. Here's the thing. We see that God frees them physically from that prison so that he can begin freeing other people spiritually from the prison of sin that they're in. Verse 20, we get this command, speak life. And if you're taking notes this morning, that's our first point, right? Number one is this. It's speak life even when it's risky or uncomfortable. We're going to use that phrase several times this morning, so I want to make sure that we're on the same page. Right, when we say speak life, it's very simple. Okay, all we mean is point people to Jesus. When the angel tells these guys, go back into the temple and speak all of the words of life, he's saying, go back into the temple and point people to Jesus. We know that it's in Jesus we have life. It's in Jesus that our sins are forgiven. God's word, starting in Genesis chapter 3, points us forward over and over and over again to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the one that was promised to bring us back into a relationship with God. Jesus' final words to the disciples just a few chapters earlier in Acts 1:8, what were they? It was go be my witnesses. Point people to me. And Matthew 28, as Jesus is there with his disciples at the end, what does he say? He says, go and make disciples, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? He's called all that would follow after him to point other people to him. In the book of Acts, we've already seen several times. In Acts chapter 3, we see Jesus is the source of life. In Acts chapter 4, we see that there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved, right? It's all about Jesus. And so listen, there's a lot in the Word of God that would point us to that same conclusion, but there's a great, clear, and concise verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. I want to read it. It says this. Whoever has the Son has life. Right, the Son is Jesus. Let me read it again. Whoever has Jesus has life. Whoever does not have Jesus does not have life. Right, God's word's clear. Right, this is not open to interpretation at this point. Life is found in Jesus. So when we say speak life, we're not talking about giving people good advice. Right? We're not talking about being the constant encourager or the pep talk kind of person. We're not saying to bust out the self-care or the self-help handbook kind of stuff. What we're saying is, what the angel is telling us here is simply to give people Jesus. Okay, the angel busted the apostles out of jail not to be friendly people, not to smile and to be a good neighbor. All of those are good things. We see they weren't busted out of jail to be comfortable or to be selfish, but they were busted out of jail, and then they were sent right back into the temple, the place that was filled with people that did not know Jesus. They were sent to a group of people that did not have life. Why were they sent there? They were sent there to speak life. They were sent there to tell other people about Jesus. Think about what's going on. They're in prison, right? Again, they're in prison, right? This is not the first time. And now they're asked, as they're freed from prison, to go back to the place that they were arrested and to begin doing the very thing that they were arrested for, right? That they're asked to go to the temple, the center of the nation, the center of religious life for the Jewish people, right? Everybody would have been gathered there. There's no way to hide there. They weren't given an easy task. They were asked to do something difficult. Right, they were asked to really put themselves out there, to take a risk, and they did it. Right, they did it. They went right back in there, and they did it. They showed us that it's possible for you and for me to share Jesus, to speak life, not just in the easy moments, not just in the smooth moments, but even when it's a little bit risky, right? Even when it's uncomfortable for us. And the truth is this, what we never know. How people are going to respond to what we say, but we do know what we're called to do. Listen, at some point in the relationships and opportunities that God has surrounded us with, we've got to be willing to take the risk, right? We've got to be willing to push ourselves past our comfort zone and be willing to share the words of life. Listen, the angels sent these guys to the place where people needed Jesus. I want you to hear this. God has sent you to the places where people need Jesus. And listen, he might not be sending anybody else because he sent you. Right? You're the missionary on your street. You're the missionary in your math class, in your school. You're the missionary in your office building and your group of friends. Listen, when you're traveling for work this week and you're sitting in row 17, seat B, sandwiched between two people that you don't want to be sandwiched between, listen, You're the missionary that God has sent to those two people for however long your flight is. At lunch this afternoon, you're the missionary that God has sent to bring words of life to the waiter or the waitress that you're talking to. Seriously, as we look at God's word, we see that if we have Jesus, we have life, which means we have the words of life, and we're called to speak them, even if it means stepping out of that comfort zone just a little bit. Listen, maybe you haven't shared yet. Maybe you haven't shared these words of life because you don't want to risk a relationship. You don't want to create a moment of discomfort and a friendship. Let me encourage you this morning to push through that and to speak life, right? Maybe it's with a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Or maybe you're in a situation in life right now where you're spending more time than you want to with doctors or nurses who are caring for you or who are caring for family members. Listen, wherever you are right now as followers of Jesus, we've got to speak life. We can't be stopped by risk. We can't be stopped by discomfort. A long time ago, a youth pastor told me something, and it has just stuck with me in the back of my head as I began thinking about things like this. I pray that it'll stick with you as well. He said, "Don't let your comfort get in the way of someone else's eternity." When we're sharing, it's not about us. When we're sharing Jesus, it's about Jesus and His glory and what He wants to do through us in the life of somebody else. Listen, speak life when it's risky. Speak life when it's uncomfortable. Look back at verse 21. These guys did. They got out of prison and they went right back into the place that got them in prison in the first place. And at daybreak the next day, something else is happening too at that same moment. That council that had locked them up went looking for them. They went to the prison and they found the guards were there. They found the doors were locked and they opened the prison up. Guess who wasn't there? Right, the apostles weren't there. The angel had gotten them out. And this is a side note. I love this. This is a hilarious, just funny thing buried in the middle of this story. The Sadducees are the ones that are in charge of this whole thing, right? Here, know this about the Sadducees, just some context. The Sadducees didn't really believe in miracles at all, and they definitely didn't believe in angels. And so while they were out doing their thing, God worked in the ways that only God does, and God sent an angel to perform a miracle to get those people out of jail, right? You got to love how God works in all of these kind of situations, right? So they figure out they're not there, something has happened, they know it's a miracle at this point, and they begin to get word. These guys that they had just locked up, what are they doing? They're in the temple and they're teaching Jesus again. And so they bring them in another time. In verse 28, look down there, it says this. They say to the apostles, to the Jesus followers, we strictly charged you not to teach in the name of Jesus. But yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Listen to that last part of that phrase. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. This is not a covert, under-the-radar thing, right? They're not trying to sneak around. They are filling Jerusalem by standing in the center of Jerusalem in the temple courts, proclaiming the words of life, right? That they're charged with teaching Jesus again. And in their response, what do? Look at verse 29. In their response, they share Jesus once again. It says, Peter and the apostles answered, we've got to obey God rather than man. And those next few verses, what do? They tell them the story of Jesus again. That brings us to our second point this morning, if you're taking notes. Number two is this, it's speak life even when other people tell you to be quiet. Right? Speak life even when other people wish that you just wouldn't. There's a lot going on here that's very relevant to us right now. It's relevant to our world right now. And so we just got to understand that there's going to be people that would prefer we just don't say anything, right? We've got to push through that and do what God's called us to do. And here's the deal, right? For us, it all comes down to just one decision. Who are we going to obey? Are we going to obey God or are we going to obey man? Are we going to live to please God? Or are we going to live to be popular with the people around us, right? Is our goal and desire to please God, to make Him happy in the things that we do? Or is our goal and desires to get along and go along with the people that are around us? Listen, I've seen my kids facing a dilemma very similar to this in our own home. Right, and normally it involves all of them sort of wrapped up in something like this, and it'll go something along these lines. I won't get too specific with it, but I'll just give you a for instance. Right, one of them might come into me and say, "Hey, Dad, can we have dessert tonight?" And there's most of the time, 99% of the time, I'll say yes. Right, but every now and then I'm like, "No, you can't. You've already had something. Well, we're not eating anything else because I want you to go to bed at some point tonight." Right, so I'll say no, and so the kid will walk away a little bit dejected, a little bit sad, and he'll go around the corner, and I'll hear everything that's going on, right? My kids think they're whispering, but I can hear them all from the other room. They're not very sneaky, right? And they say this, "What'd Dad say?" "Oh, Dad said we can't have anything tonight." And one of them will say, "So?" "Oh, well, Dad said no." "Well, we should get some anyway." And they're like, "Well, you get it." "No, you get it. No, you sneak in there and get it," right? They're trying to talk one of them into disobeying Dad and sneaking into the freezer and get something and taking it off so they can all have dessert. And I'll hear everything that's going on, and so I don't get involved. I just sit back and wait, right? I want to see what kind of choice they're going to make, right? The two choices are, right, obey Dad or give in to my sneaky brothers. Well, one of those two things is going to happen, but only one of them, if you have kids or if you have been a kid and you had parents, right, well, only one of them is going to work out right, right? If they listen to their brothers, things are not going to go well in our household that evening. If they listen to Dad, things are going to remain peaceful and calm and quiet in the household that evening, right? That they've got a choice to make, right? And the only choice, really, is to obey their dad. And the same thing is going on here. These apostles, these followers of Jesus, that they have a choice, but not really, right? That as followers of Jesus, we really only have one option here. As followers of Jesus, Peter nails it. Look at verse 29. He says, we must obey God rather than man. He doesn't say it would be a good thing. He doesn't say we probably should. He says we must. We are compelled. If we're going to be followers of Jesus doing what God has called us to do, we have to obey God over man. And listen, this is the second time he's had to tell this council that in two chapters. He said it in chapter 4 as well, and it's important for us to take note because he gives us this model, this biblical precedent of what we're supposed to do in situations like that. When we're placed in this scenario where we've got to choose between the Word of God and the Word of man, God's Word is super clear. We obey Him every time. Listen to this. Our loyalty, or it's not to a governing authority, our loyalty is to a life-giving Savior. Right, our loyalty is to Jesus. And as we wrestle with that concept, I want to remind you of this. The Bible says that, and it teaches that all authority on earth, that it's established by God, that it's put in place by God. We're taught that we're supposed to pray for those in authority over us. We're supposed to pray that the kings and governors and princes, we're supposed to pray that they would come to know Jesus as Savior. And at the same time, we're told that over everything else, we're called to be obedient to God, right? So in cases like we see here, right, God told them to be a witness and to speak life. The government told them not to be a witness and not to speak life, right? We see that when there's that direct conflict, our obedience is to God and God alone. And for us, right, as Christians, especially in today's world, we need to understand that takes wisdom and that takes discernment. These guys are not rebelling. They are not rebelling because they don't like a law. Right, that they're not rebelling because they don't like a speed limit sign placed somewhere. They're not rebelling because they don't agree with a new tax law or anything like that. That the situation that we see unfolding here is earthly authority forbidding biblical obedience. And in moments like that, understanding that there's going to be consequences, right? If we obey God, we've got to understand there will be earthly consequences. Even so, we must choose Jesus. And the Bible is full of examples of civil disobedience just like this, just like what we see here. If you go back to the Old Testament for a minute, think about those Hebrew midwives, right? When the people of God, with the people of Israel, they're in Egypt, and the Hebrew midwives, they get this order. They're supposed to not let any of the newborn male babies live when they're born. What do the midwives do? And they rushed, and they hurried, and they protected life, that they did not go with the orders of the Pharaoh back then. Think about Daniel. Daniel's given this order not to pray to God, but instead to pray to someone else. What does Daniel do? Well, Daniel obeys God, and he prays to God and God alone. Think about Queen Esther. What does she do? She stands up in defiance of the rulers, of the leaders, and she saves the people of God. All of these examples, right? Biblical obedience, when it's in direct conflict with the laws, we see that the result, right, is worth the sacrifice. These guys, they're told to be quiet. They're told to not speak the name of Jesus, and they just couldn't comply, right? And neither can we as followers of Jesus, as people who have been saved by Jesus, right? We've got to be willing to speak life, even when we're told to be quiet. Where we live, right, we don't have any laws that prevent us from sharing Jesus yet. But if we do, when we do, we can't be quiet. We've got to be willing to share the name of Jesus in every circumstance. But even still, in today's world, there's probably some people that wish that we'd tone it down a little bit. There might be people in your life that say, hey, listen, keep the Jesus stuff quiet. You might run in circles. You might have friends. There might be social situations where people would rather you kept quiet. Maybe you've got people in your family that would just prefer you stop bringing up the name of Jesus. Maybe you've got a boss or a coworker or a supervisor that would ask you to stop bringing up the hope that you have in Jesus. Listen, the biblical example that we have here is to use the voice and the opportunities that God has given us to share life. So think about your life right now. Think about what's going on. Think about where God has placed you. Think about your opportunities. And remember, in every one of those scenarios, you can and should speak life. These guys used their moment on trial, again, to share words of life. And so they share the gospel with this council. And I want you to hear how the council received the good news of Jesus from their followers that day. Look at verse 33. It says, when the council heard this, the news of Jesus, they were enraged and they wanted to kill the apostles. So as I read this, it does not look like the council was receptive to the gospel, right? It does not look like that they agreed. It does not look like they gave their lives to Christ. I'd say this was a witnessing opportunity for these apostles that did not go well. Have you ever had one of those? Hopefully not this bad. Right? Maybe we've had people walk away. Maybe we've had people upset. Maybe we've had people frustrated. I've never had anyone try to kill me over this, but that's where they're at. And in the midst of this, there's anger. There's probably a little bit of fear. Look at verse 34. It says, a Pharisee on the council, Gamaliel, a teacher of the law that was held in honor by all the people, he stood up. He put the men outside, and then he gave a history lesson to the rest of the council. He's an old, wise guy on the council. He said, listen, guys, let me tell you what's happened here before. People have stood up. People have made a ruckus before, but it always seems to fall away. Don't worry about these apostles. Turn them loose. Let them go. In verse 38, he says, if this plan is the undertaking of man, what's going to happen? It's going to fail. But if it's of God, you will not be able to stop them. You might even be found to be opposing God. That this man brings wisdom, and he reminds us that you and I, our third point is this. He reminds us that we can speak life with confidence, knowing that God's word will not be stopped. Right? He brings logic to the table. He said, if the message isn't from God, it's not going to go anywhere. If the message isn't from God, it doesn't have legs. It's going to fizzle out and die out on its own. But if their message is from God, what happens? It's unstoppable. So be encouraged this morning, right? Be excited about this morning. Know that the life that you have in Jesus that he's called to share with the world around us, it simply cannot be stopped. You are playing for, you are on the team that has already won, right? Have you ever been in a situation like that where the game is over and you've won, but you get to keep playing anyway, right? My kids play lots of baseball. We're chasing them around the ballparks all the time. And every now and then, we end up on the good side of one of these scenarios where we have scored so many runs that they call a mercy rule. The umpire says, the game's over. You guys have won. Stop beating up on this other team. We're not going to keep score anymore. Every time they do that, both teams decide, we're just going to play anyway. We'll stay here. We'll hang out, and we're going to finish our time slot to let the kids practice. And here's the cool thing about that. The kids play totally different. They play loose, right? They play relaxed. They do things that they would not have done before. They swing harder. They throw harder. They take risks. They take chances. Why? Because they can't lose, right? They're in a scenario where they have already won the game, and they begin to play like it. Listen, if you have Jesus, the Bible says you have life, and you're on a team that cannot be stopped. The council heard that day, and they agreed. Look what they did, starting in verse 40. It says, when they heard that, they called in the apostles, and they beat them, and they charged them, don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. It says, then they let them go. So they left the presence of the council, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease to teach and preach that Jesus is the Christ. Our last point as we close is simply this. Speak life, and speak life with joy. right? These guys, that they got arrested, that they took a beating, they got threatened, and as they left, notice, they did not leave mad. They did not leave complaining that life wasn't fair. They did not leave ready to blast someone on social media. They didn't leave looking for a lawyer. It says they left rejoicing. Why? Because they were considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. They acted like Jesus. They followed after Jesus. And look, now they're being treated like Jesus said they would be treated. They weren't crazy. Okay, I promise you that they were not happy that they took a beating. Listen, these guys were happy because they were identified as followers of Jesus. Or they were happy because they had been obedient and faithful to do what God had called them to do, even in the toughest of circumstances. When we do that, when we live out what God's called us to do, when we speak life, when we share Jesus with the world around us, we can't help but be filled with joy, no matter how the message is received. Obedience brings us to a place of joy. So let's speak life. Let's experience the joy that comes with it. Keep the main thing the main thing, and make sure that our words point people to Christ. And just like here, not everyone is going to respond like we hope, but we can't worry about that. Our call from Jesus, the model that we have in our Bibles that we see this morning, is to speak life, giving the people around us the chance to trust Jesus just like you and I have, right? Let me tell you one more thing about William Leslie, that guy from the Congo that I mentioned at the beginning. That guy spoke life, right, in every circumstance. He spoke life when it was risky. He spoke life when it was uncomfortable. He spoke life when different tribes, some of them being cannibal tribes living close to him, he spoke life even when they told him to be quiet. And he did so with confidence, knowing the message of God couldn't be stopped. He did so with joy in his heart, knowing he was doing what God called him to do, and he still left, probably disappointed. He died wondering, was it worth it? He died wondering, what could God really have used that? But think about this. This is amazing, right? If you read his story, if you look him up online, you'll see this. In 2010, right, so just about 10 years ago, right, almost 90 years, I think, after William Leslie first went over to the Congo, there was this team of Christian missionaries that showed back up in the Congo, right? And they took a plane, and they took a canoe, and they walked 10 miles deep into the jungle where they thought William Leslie might have spent his time. And when they got there, they were blown away, right? When they got there, they found this network of churches, right, that was multiplying, planting other churches deep in the jungle as well. They found villages with full-on gospel choirs that would travel from village to village singing hymns that they wrote, right? That they found churches in 8 villages that spanned 34 miles through the jungle. Listen, I've been in Africa. I've been in the jungles like that. I've been back in the bush where there's nothing. To see this and to know this and to hear about this is absolutely mind-blowing, right? It's so incredibly developed there. In one village, so many people trusted Christ that they built a 1,000-seat stone church out in the middle of the jungle. This room has less than 900 seats, right? 1,000-seat church in the middle of the jungle. And the team that found this, they were blown away. They had no idea, right? And they wondered, how did this happen? They couldn't find one pastor from the West there. They couldn't find one missionary there. And so as they bounced in and out of these villages, they kept looking for the elders. They kept looking for older people that had been around a long time, asking, how did this start? Who spoke these words of life to you? And finally, in one of the villages, they found some elders that told them 100 years before, this man named William showed up and spoke life. And when he did, it didn't take hold right away, but there were people there that heard of Jesus, that heard the name of Jesus. He planted the seed deep down in their heart. And as that seed began to grow, as people there began to trust Christ, it grew, it grew, it grew. He never saw it, right? He never got to experience. He never got to put his eyes on it, but he was faithful to speak life there. And generations of people, right, deep in the heart of the Congo have trusted Christ. And I can guarantee you that he has welcomed people into heaven, welcomed people home to an eternity with Jesus because God was able to use his words of life deep in the jungle. Listen, our lives here, all of our lives, whether we see it or not, whether we get to experience it firsthand or not, all of our lives here have this impact on eternity. Okay, this passage, and this is a major encouragement for us. It's a major challenge for us. It's a reminder for us that our words matter. So in each and every circumstance, let me encourage you to speak life. Okay, speak Jesus to the world around us and watch God work in ways that only he can. Would you pray with me this morning? Just with our heads bowed, I want to ask you to think about a couple of questions this morning as we respond to God's word today. And the first question, it's just real simple. Do you speak life to the people around you? We've all got words. We all have conversations. We all have opportunities. My question for you this morning is, do you speak life? The Bible says in 1 John 5, if you have Jesus, you have life. The words of life are in you if you're a follower of Christ. The question is, are those words getting out of us to the world around us? Just take a minute this morning and ask God to fill you with that courage and that boldness to speak life to the people around you. Ask him to give you that passion, that zeal. Ask him to help you to love the people he's placed in your life so much that you can't help but share the good news that you have in Jesus with them. Just take a minute, pray. Ask him for that. Ask him to put the names of people on your mind and heart. Ask him to help you about the scenarios that you have where you can speak this life, where you can point people to Jesus and ultimately heaven. Ask him to fill you with that. And this morning as you're sitting here praying, listen, I know, I'm confident, right, that there's people in here, maybe that just came in, this is their first time here, maybe you haven't been in church in a while, maybe you don't know Jesus personally, and you're thinking, man, I don't know that I can speak life because that verse said you've got to have Jesus to have life. If that's you this morning, and you'd say you don't have Jesus, if that's you this morning, you'd say you've never trusted him or asked him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, let me just invite you this morning to make that your decision today, to trust in Jesus as Savior. And if you know you need to do that, right, in just a minute, we're going to stand and pray. We're going to have pastors that are down here at the front. We'd love to pray with you about that. Come forward and let us talk to you about life that's found only in Jesus. If you want to come forward and pray over someone that God's placed on your heart that you want to share the words of life with, we'd be honored to come alongside you and to pray for that person that God's placed in your life. If someone in your family is sick, if you're going through a tough time this morning, let us come alongside you in prayer in just a moment. As we stand and worship together, that'll be your opportunity, your invitation to come and to pray with one of us. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you that there were so many, God, faithful followers of you in my life that were willing to speak life into me. They were willing to share the good news with me. God, I thank you for the people here and all the people along the way that have spoken life into them. And God, now, Lord, I pray that message would not stop with us. God, I pray that we would be a people that speak life into our community and the world around us, faithfully doing what you have called us to do. God and Lord, I pray that as you move in our hearts, as you stir in our hearts, God, we wouldn't push it down. We'd live it out. And this morning, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Father, God, I pray that you give them that boldness to come and to talk about what it means to have life in your Son, Jesus. God, we love you and we worship you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us as we worship?
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.